Well, good morning and welcome to Discovery Community Church. We invite you all to stand with us as we begin our worship today. And God, I thank you for bringing all of us together today. We pray that you would take what we've prepared, take our hearts, what we offer to you, and that you'd multiply it to do your will. We thank you, God. We praise you. We lift our praise to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My way a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm.
A couple things are going to happen. Oh, yeah, sit down just for a second, and then I'm going to make you stand up and be awkward and couple moments too. So students, we got some students here. This is the week where students move up. If you're a fifth grader, you get to jump up and be part of the student ministry. And so students are heading out right now. Anybody? Sixth grade, is that right? Did I say it right? Sixth graders, you should be heading out. Yeah, I hope I didn't say it wrong. But in fact, if you want to just go with the students, go now. It's the time. So hey, welcome guys to Discovery Community Church. Welcome to our new digs part two. That's what we're going to call this. So we're here in the cafeteria, and we are making good use of this space. And so, Damien, will you come up here? I got a task for you. You help me out. You're getting all comfy. Will you make sure everybody gets one of these? Yeah. So everybody, give it up for Damien. He didn't even know that he was being tasked. But anyway, some of the things that we're doing is we are, for the fall, we are relaunching several of our ministries. But one of the things that we're relaunching is we're relaunching our setup and teardown teams. And we're needing some people who want to jump in and be a part of our setup teams. I'm giving it to you now. If you'd like to serve once or twice a month on our setup teams, I just want you to put your name on there. And if you, it would help be helpful if you put your actual contact information, not somebody else's. So, you know, sometimes people just put down Max Burke's phone number, and he ends up volunteering for everything. So, anyway, if you would put your name down and you'd be willing to serve once or twice a month as part of a setup team, we would love that. It takes a lot to make this space work. Even when and if we migrate back to the auditorium, at that point, it'll take a lot of energy as well. So we'd love to have you be part of those teams. So anyway, we have a couple of things happening today. We have a special luncheon at noon for our volunteers. If you're a volunteer at Discovery, we'd love to have you come and join us at 12 o'clock. We're going to be meeting right here in this space. We're going to be talking about God's dream for this church and how you can be a part of that. So anyway, you want to do this thing? Let's do this thing, man. So here's what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for us. And after I pray for us, I want you to stand up and I want you to shake hands with three people. And you're going to do that while these guys start this song. So they're going to give you a nice segue. If this is uncomfortable, you're going to be able to, like, you know, dance your way out of a handshake right into worship. We're going to sing a couple songs and then we're going to jump into our teaching series that's called Dream. And so it's going to be kicked off this morning, and we're going to be teaching from the Old Testament book of Joel. So if you have your Bible, you're going to want to find the book of Joel in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, we have a little table in the back that's got Bibles, or you can use your phone. And so I apologize, you don't have the best reception in here, but you're going to want to be able to pull up a Bible and have it with you this morning. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you very, very much for the privilege of breathing this morning. You guys say amen to that? Father, just breath in these lungs is a sign that you're not done with me. You're not done with us. And Father, in this room, I know that we're not just different faces. We represent different kind of places in our walk. Some of us this morning, our relationship with you feels so distant, stretched, numb. Some of us this morning, our relationship with you feels so new and fresh. And some, it feels so safe. We're in all different places this morning. But it's amazing how, regardless of the place we are in and the space we have been, you speak. You speak to old souls and weary souls, new souls and curious souls. This morning as we worship, would you just for a few moments help the things of this world just fall away? Just for a few moments, help our souls be still, receptive. And Father, this is my prayer, and this has been my prayer, and I hope it will be the prayer of this church. I'm praying that we would dream again. A God-sized dream. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand up. And I want you to shake hands with one or two people. Say good morning to somebody. I know it's a little bit awkward. I want you to do that. And then join us for worship.
Back to your seats. Would you join us in singing? Let the King
you. is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on.
Please be seated for a moment. I'm going to invite you just to bow with me. And let's pray together. We just sang this song of declaration that even in the most difficult moments, your goodness, God, has been over me. for some of you, that for the next few moments of prayer, it would be it's kind of an opportunity for you to intentionally shift this morning. Here's the struggle that most of us have and have been in. When we encounter disappointments and discouragement, when things are not at all going the way that we expect or have deserved or wished, we begin to look around for blame. And it becomes really convenient to blame God. It creates distance. Could it be this morning that God is not the cause of the evil, the unfairness, the injustice, but could it be that in the midst of this world that is woven with injustice, a world that's woven with pain, that God not only sent his son to experience the same kind of pain and disappointment and troubles, but that even in the midst of these things in your life that are real and tangible, he's actually weaving together something beautiful. And if you would just consider that for a moment, maybe you would consider taking this next step of just saying, God, help me see your goodness. Or praying something like, God, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you've given me a hope. That is far beyond anything this world could offer me. Thank you that you're here and that you're near and that that is enough. You take a minute. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Father, in these next few moments together, it is my prayer that you help us dream God-sized dreams again. In Jesus' name. Sometimes you can see it in the eyes. Sometimes it remains hidden from our gaze. But either way, when the dream fades, so goes the soul, the person, the church, and the nation. we need a dream. We live in a generation that needs a dream, a God-given, God-centered dream. We need a dream for our city. We need a dream for our church. We need a dream for our families. And we need a dream for our souls. Your soul, my friend, is desperate for a God-given dream. This September, we are going to talk about the dream. We're going to talk about how to recover, rediscover a God-given dream for your life and for mine and for ours together as a church, for our city, for our generation. We're going to be walking through a little Old Testament book called the Book of Joel. It is small, but it is deeply relevant. And so I'm going to encourage you to find it. Please use your table of contents in your Bible. Some of you may be flipping for a little while if you don't. Pull out your phone. We are going to be walking through this little book. This little book, honestly, is about recovering the necessary dream. In fact, one of the most important and yet least known verses in the history of the church is found in the book of Joel. It's the key passage that Peter taught from on the very first day, the birth of the church, when a handful of marginalized, uneducated, beaten down, powerless, by the way, powerless by any standard of the world, this little tiny group of people were shot out of a cannon onto the world stage and changed history. When God launched the church 2,000 years ago, he launched it with the reading of this passage from the book of Joel, chapter 2. I want to read it this morning. We're going to be coming back to it throughout this month. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." Peter taught on this, not because it's inspirational, not because it's neat or it will fit on a little, bumper sticker. He taught on it because it is both necessary and true. It's true because it is God alone who injects God-sized dreams into dreamless souls. It's true because it is God alone who injects God-sized dreams into dreamless souls. And second, it is necessary because you and I as human beings have been designed by God for a dream. And a life without a dream is powerless, painful, and tragic. I want to direct your attention to a well-known verse in the book of Proverbs that you have likely heard before. Proverbs 29:18 says this, "Without prophetic vision, people," you see it up there? What do they do? "People run wild, but blessed are those who follow God's teaching." The wildness in our culture, the wildness in our nation, the wildness in my house, the wildness in my soul is traced back to the lack of a God-given dream in my life. Many of us in this room, you've been trying to figure it out. Like, why do these things keep happening? Why are such all these disconnected things happening in my life? Why, God, when God is saying to you and me clearly, you need a God-given dream in your life. You've been designed by God for it. Let me take you back to the very opening pages of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, right after God creates human beings, in Genesis 1:28, it says, "Then God blessed them." What did he bless them with? He blessed them with a dream. Blessed them, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." God knew from the very beginning that Adam and Eve are not just simply to do some tasks. They needed purpose. mission, vision. They needed a dream, and so God blessed them with a dream. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal. Some of you know this by heart. Is it up there? Do you see it? The thief comes. What's he come to do? Steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, no, but I came that you might have life and have it to the full. Some versions say abundantly. Jesus says God's heart for your life, God's design for your life is that it would be pulsating with mission and purpose and vision. It's his heart for you. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. We've studied this some time ago. This means poem. We are God's poem. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a design for your life. You're a poem, a beautiful, incredible creation. God has a designed dream for your life. And unfortunately, and we know this all too well, is that though we are designed to dream, there is a fragility to the dream. Anybody say a little bit of an amen? Maybe you'll see this in the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 4. Jesus says in Mark 4, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke Word and make my life unfruitful. Jesus says the problem is that most of us settle for too small of a dream. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The wild family, my life, my world, my city, my nation can be traced directly back to not having and holding on to God-sized, God-given dreams. And it's time for us to dream again. So what do we do, though, when the dream feels like it's a million miles away? It's buried underneath unmet expectations and distractions and those two small dreams. What do we do? What do you do when you're kind of numb and you're, some of you this morning are kind of wanting to check out, you're like, oh, I've heard this before, it doesn't work. What do you do when the dream is all but extinguished in your life? So this month, we're going to talk about how to recover the dream, how to find capacity for the dream in my life, how to reignite the dormant dream, how to align with God's dream. We're going to talk about how to do this individually. We're going to talk about how to do this as a church. So that's what we're going to do this month as we walk through the book of Joel. Joel is all about rediscovering the necessary dream for our life. And to be honest, to have a dream, we first have to make room for the dream. I think you might understand this if you've been to Walmart recently for groceries. Anybody? Walmart, Fred Meyer, you're hungry, things are on the list, you go to Walmart, you buy the stuff, you put it in a cart, you pay for it, put it in a bag, you lug the bags to the car, you get to the car, you drag the bags from the car, you eventually make it into the house, some of the bags are on the counter, some of the bags are on the floor, and then you say, and you look at that refrigerator. And you know what has to happen. What has to happen? You got to make room. There's some leftover pizza. There's some green stuff growing on some yellow stuff. There's some white stuff that should pour that's chunky. There's old pickles. Am I right? Before you can put anything away, before you can start fresh, you have got to get rid of the old. Amen? We've all been there. Some of you, you've saved up before. Imagine, some of you haven't yet, but you've been saving for a brand new dining room table. You've been saving and you've been putting it in a jar, you know, week after week, month after month, and now you finally have enough money in that jar. and you go by the table, it's going to change your family. It's going to change your house. You're so proud. You go to the store. You pick the table out. You give them the jar. They take the jar. You're so excited. They say, on Thursday, we're going to deliver the table. What's that mean? It means Wednesday, you got work to do. Wednesday, you go to the old table and you say, we got to get rid of the bills. We got to get rid of the laundry. Anybody say amen? The dining room table, it's just, there's a mound on top of it. And you've got to take Wednesday and you've got to clear the entire table. And then you've got to get some people in to get the table out. You've got to make space for the dream. Amen? So we're going to break this down. How do you have a dream again? The first thing you have to do is you have to make space for the dream. In the book of Joel, I love Joel 2:28. But before we get to Joel 2:28, there's a chapter 1, okay? And in Joel chapter 1, Joel is going to talk to us about how you make room for the dream. Now, Joel is talking to the people of Israel a long time ago, a people who lost the dream, who've wandered way off the path. They're so incredibly distant. But before we get to Joel 2:28, we have to make room for the dream. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to read an Old Testament prophecy. We're going to read chapter 1 together. And I want you to read along with me, and then we're going to talk briefly about how this applies to your life and mine in 2025, how we begin the process of dreaming again. So if you have your Bible open, I want you to open with me to Joel chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 2, and we're going to read down through the end of this chapter, okay? In Joel chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all who live in the land, and all your history. Has anything like this happened before? Tell your children about it in the years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, the swarming locusts took what was left. And after them came the hopping locust, and then the stripping locust too." Verse 5. "Wake up. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers. All the grapes are ruined, and all your sweet wine is gone. A vast army of locusts has invaded my land, a terrible army too numerous to count. Its teeth are like lion's teeth. Its fangs are like those of a lioness. It's destroyed my grapevines and ruined my fig leaves, stripping the bark and destroying it, leaving the branches white and bare." Does your life ever feel like this? Just can't get ahead. Just can't fix the problem. Verse 8, "Weep like a bride dressed in black, mourning the death of her husband, for there's no grain, there's no wine to offer the temple of the Lord. So the priests are in mourning, the ministers of the Lord are weeping." Verse 10, "The fields are ruined, the land stripped bare, the grains are destroyed, the grapes have shriveled, and the oil, olive oil is all gone. Despair, you farmers, wail, you vine growers. Weep because the wheat and the barley, all the crops that filled, they're ruined." Verse 12, "The grapevines have dried up, the fig trees have withered, the pomegranate trees, palm trees, apple trees, fruit trees, they're all gone. And the people's joy has dried up." So dress yourselves in burlap and weep. "You priests, wail, you who serve before the altar. Come, spend the night in burlap, you ministers of my God, for there's no grain or wine to offer at the temple of your God. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land into the temple of the Lord your God and cry out to him there." For the day of the Lord is near. The day when destruction comes from the Almighty, how terrible that day will be. Our food disappears before our very eyes. No joy, no joyful celebrations are held in the house of our God. The seeds die in parched ground, and the grain crops fail. The barns stand empty, granaries are abandoned. Even the animals moan with hunger. The herds of cattle wander about confused.
They have no pasture. The flocks of sheep and goats bleed in misery. Lord, help us. The fire has consumed the wilderness pastures. The flames have burned up all the trees. Even the wild animals cry out to you because the streams have dried up. Oh, Lord, help us. Because the fire is consumed even the wilderness pastures. It's a hard chapter. It's certainly descriptive of the time of Israel and what they were going through, but it's descriptive of so many of us. We find ourselves over and over again just walking through the motions, trying to make it through, but there is no fruit. But let us not be mistaken. Joel is not just describing the pain, he's inviting us to make space for the dream. And so there are three things that Joel in this chapter invites you and I to do as a first step. Number one is to listen to the whisper. I'm going to bring your attention back to verses 2 and 3. He says, hear this. Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all who live in the land. You know, we have an amazing capacity. How should I say this? I don't like to be wrong. And even when I'm wrong, I like to pretend I'm not. Anybody? In fact, Tracy and I were just taking a walk yesterday and something happened. The dog, you know, caught her, and then I blamed the dog. She's like, you did this. I said, no, impossible. Because I don't make mistakes. We just had a little chuckle. But, you know, the odd thing is that we all do that. We have this amazing capacity to pretend that nothing's wrong. And when something's wrong, to put on an amazing face, to look the part, to play the part, to just pretend, to just muscle through it all. And even when the dream has almost completely been extinguished in our lives, we still play like it's vibrant and alive. We do that at work. We do that at home. We do that with our kids. We do that on Sunday mornings. We know how to play the part, how to muscle through, how to compensate. We know how to medicate. Like deep down inside, I know that I'm distant from God. I don't know mission and purpose, but I don't want anybody to know it. And Joel says, for just a moment, would you stop playing the game, wearing the mask? Would you listen to the constant pursuit of God? Do you know that God is pursuing you right now? You know, some of those things, Joel's trying to bring the attention. He's saying, listen, do you realize that some of the banging your head against the wall, some of that is God allowing you to experience the fruit of your smaller dreams and becoming dissatisfied so that you would wake up and come back to the dream. God is allowing you to kind of feel the pain because he wants you to listen that there's a bigger dream for your life. Listen to the whisper. In the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, I reference this a lot because I find it so amazing. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says these words, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens the door, I will come in, we'll sit down, we will reconnect. Now, let's just talk about how amazing that is. We're jerks. Not one amen, okay? You don't believe it. Jesus is not saying, I'm pursuing people who have got their stuff together. He's saying, I'm pursuing every man, woman, and child, even when they're far off, distant, distracted with smaller dreams for their life. The amazing thing is I'm standing at the door of your life each and every day, knocking and pursuing, waiting for you to listen to the whisper. Could it be that these things that keep happening are not just by happenstance? Could it be these things that keep happening in my life, that the way that they're happening, are a product
of a soulless... Whoa, something happened right there. Ooh, maybe we're supposed to list as soulless.
We're going to get it. Maybe what's happening right now is that God is just wanting to get you to listen to the whisper. So Joel says in verse 2, stop playing games and listen. The second thing Joel invites you and I to do is to let yourself long again. Let yourself long again. Verse 8, weep like a bride dressed in black, mourning the death of her husband. There's no grain or wine to offer in the temple of the Lord, so the priests are in mourning, the ministers of the Lord are weeping. What Joel is saying is, like, listen, it's okay to acknowledge, to say it out loud. Ready? I screwed up. Some of you put that down in your notes. It's okay for you to acknowledge that you have failed, that you are not where God wants you to be, and that you want to be. And it's okay to dream again that one day, by God's grace and mercy, you might be there. Psalm 42:11, write this down. Why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you in turmoil? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. You know what the psalmist is saying? I'm not there yet. I'm a long way off. But here's the hope, that even this messed up person, even in this person who's distant, distracted, there's a great barrier between where I'm called to be and where I am, even I have hope that one day I will again praise him, that again God would restore someone like me who's so far off. And my friends, for the dream to come alive in you, you have to fight through the discouragement and hope again that even you in this situation, circumstance, could be used by God, could be restored. Even you will one day sing again. One of the verses I love so much, and again, I reference it lots in the book of Philippians. I think I even referenced it last week. Paul writes this, he says, I'm sure of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Even you. Say with me, even me, everybody. Even me. And right now you're thinking, well, Pastor, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I did last week. You don't know how, like, numb. You don't know what I've said. I don't. But I know this. Even me. He promises that he will not give up. So long for it again, my friends. Here's the third thing, last thing for this morning that we see in Joel chapter 1. Joel is calling for you and I to look to the giver of the dream. Verses 13 and 14, Joel says this, dress yourselves in burlap and weep, you priests, well, you who serve before the altar. Come spend the night in burlap, you ministers of my God.
For there is no grain or wine to offer the temple of your God. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land into the temple of the Lord your God and cry out to him there. Real specifically, what's Joel saying? He's calling the entire nation. He uses the word solemn, the entire nation, to be serious about calling out to God, the giver of the dream, to bring the dream again. It's time to be serious about prayer. Psalm 86:7, I think this would be a real encouraging verse to write down. This comes from the New Living Translation. The psalmist says, I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. Isn't that cool? That is one of the coolest things. The psalmist says, when I am far off and distant, I'm in trouble. It is so amazing that Jesus is standing at the door knocking when I listen to the whisper and I long for the things of God and I open up and say, Jesus, would you come in? It is so amazing that he does. He hears the prayers of men and women just like you and me. When we stop wearing masks, when we stop playing games, when we stop settling for smaller dreams and say, dear God, would you give me a dream for my family? A God-sized dream for my workplace. A God-sized dream for my neighborhood. A God-sized dream for my generation, this city, when we call out to it. God provides. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that amazing to you? I mean, he doesn't have to. So, just in a real specific way, I'm going to invite you to do something this week. A lot of weeks at the end of the sermon, I try to be like, okay, hey, you figured out. But I'm just going to ask you to do something really specific. I think this is God's call for you individually, but us as a church. I'm going to invite you to dedicate September 7th through September 14th as a week of prayer for the dream. I'm inviting you to hear the invitation from Scripture to get serious about looking to the giver of the dream. Some of you, you're working in a hard place. You're surrounded by a hard team. You're living in a tough neighborhood. The environment in your family is really tough right now. Some of you, you know your soul is so distant. The most practical thing is to dedicate this week to prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I think so many of us know this, but it just says it this way. It's so frank. It's super frank. It starts with the word if. I mean, it's already suggesting that some of us are just too wrapped up in smaller dreams. Many of us will just look over this and think, I got a busy week. But listen to it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We live in a city that, honestly, I love. It's an amazing city, but it is in such a desperate need. In this room, we work in places. We work with teams. We work with students. We work with clients. that have such amazing needs. We live in neighborhoods where there's such amazing people filled with incredible needs. We live in a nation that is a gifted and blessed nation that has incredible needs right now, and the need is a dream. A God-given, God-focused dream. And it really starts with you and me. Giving up smaller, less important, less significant, distracting dreams and saying, God, I have lost purpose and mission. My life has become about to-do lists and expectations and collecting, spending, and running. And I know that you've called me to walk with you. The chaos and the wildness around me, it is this glaring sign that I need the dream again. So I'm asking you, we're going to pray in a minute. There may be some specific things that you need to pray for, and I'm going to invite you to do that. But I would like you during this prayer time to make a commitment every day this week to call out to the giver of dreams. Next Sunday, we're going to have a special time of recommitment. Recommitting not just generally to a dream, but recommitting to God and his son Jesus Christ specifically. We're going to talk about that next week, so it's going to be the culmination of a week of prayer, and I'm going to invite you to seriously, Joel says solemn, a serious moment before God to make that commitment. So bow with me just for a moment, and I'm going to give us just a moment. Katie's playing the piano. If there's something specific you know you got to talk to God about it, then talk to God right now. And then after a minute, I'm going to lead us through a prayer of committing this week to prayer. Father God, I know that sometimes in our gatherings, we're so used to finding something light and cheery we can just slip into our pocket. But right now, we live in a day and an age, in a generation, a city that is filled with wildness. Truth is you've made us for a dream, and not a dream for the things of this world, not a dream to have more success or more likes or more followers, but to have and live a dream that a person like me could walk intimately with the God of heaven. Not only walk with you, but live this design and purpose that you have. Father, fill our hearts, and then our hands, and then our feet with the dream. Father, I pray that you would ignite your kingdom dreams in this church. May the dreams spill out of a cafeteria onto 37th Street, onto 38th. May the dreams spill out and find its way down the hill to where the Puyallup meets the Sound. May it spill, Father, over to the west, across in University Place in the North End. God, may it spill out, Father, across the bridge. May you begin a new work, a fresh work in our hearts that changes our city and our generation. God, I'm praying right now for a dream. Father, we are going to dedicate this week to prayer. If you agree with me, pray something like this. God, help me each and every day seriously seek you, the giver of the dream. May you bring me back to your purpose and your mission for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing a song of worship. At the end of our time of worship, we're going to pass some baskets. I'm just prepping you. We won't do it yet, but at the end of our time of worship, we're going to pass some baskets for our giving back to God time. I'm going to just trust you guys in the back. Don't wait for me to say anything, but just kind of as the song winds down, will you start that? And what I want you to do is I want you to drop in your connection cards. If you want to give financially to God's work, you can do that. Some of you, I passed out some cards about serving on a team once or twice a month. If you put your name out, drop that in that basket. And after we do that, I'm going to come back up and we're going to say goodbye. So right now, stand with us and let's worship.
He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you.
for me. All that I've done and said and been, yet be here for me. This week as we pray, some of us are going to carve time out at lunch. We're going to go sneak away to the truck. Some of us are going to sit in the car before we go into work. Some of us are going to rise early or stay up late. We know we need to dream. More than anything, we need the giver of the dream. And what an amazing promise it is. No matter where I've been, you're pursuing me. You stand at the door and knock. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive, and will heal. Father, this week as we make space for the dream, even this week will you begin the healing. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated just for a moment. Thank you for beginning the journey through the Old Testament book of Joel. I think it's going to be really fruitful. We're going to talk about how to reignite and rediscover the dream for us individually, but we're going to also talk about God's dream for a city and God's dream for his church. It's going to be a really, really important week. A couple things as we're getting ready to leave. Please don't race out. Take a minute, get a cup of coffee, meet somebody. Church was never meant to be a little program that you fit in. It's meant to be a family on mission, and so we need to know each other's names, and that means we got to stumble through them and forget and remember. So just take a few minutes and hang, okay? And then you're going to see some people around 11:25. They're going to start tearing down and packing up. If you'd like to help out, just jump in. And we're going to start transforming this back into a cafeteria and transforming some rooms down the hall. So we'd love to have you help and be a part of that. So, and then at 12 o'clock, we're going to have a special meeting. It's called CORE, and it's for our volunteers. And so if you're a volunteer and want to stay and be part of that, we're going to have a little bit of lunch, and we're going to spend some time together really talking about the dream. And we're going to get more specific about the dream for discovery and how that fits. And anyway, we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. One of the things that we want to do today is we also want to acknowledge the investment of a really, really important person. Kristen Lumsden has been a really important part of our family for many years and will be for many years to come. Kristen and Mike and their family, as many of you know, have gone through a lot this last summer. And so a little over a week ago, Kristen and I met, and she said, I need to take a season of stepping back. And so we're going to honor that. And many of you have been putting your arms around the family, and I'm grateful for that. And we just want you to keep doing that. And so I want you to do something with me. Is I'm not going to invite Kristen to come up here because I think that might kill her. But I would like you to do something, kind of do the opposite. I want her just to stay seated. She's in the back, okay? And I'd like you to stand with me and first applaud her, and then pray with me over her, and then we're going to dismiss. Would you do that? Okay, let's stand and just give a big applause to Kristen.
Would you pray with me as we close our service? And Kathy's bringing her a little gift of gratitude. And Jesus, thank you so much for how much you have done in and through the lives of saints like Kristen. We're so grateful for your investment in our lives by her. We're so thankful. And I know even as we say this, many people are like, which one's Kristen? And that's sort of the beauty of her and so many like her. She has this heart to serve behind the scenes and to bless people's lives. And we are all in this room touched by her. Father, we are praying that you continue to bring healing and restoration to a family that has just gone through some devastating loss. Pray that you just continue to heal and restore and bless. Bless the Lumsden family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing your Sunday morning with us, friends. Hang for a bit, and God bless you. And all week, pray, right? Seek the face of God.